Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We hope you're having a great Thursday. We certainly are. We hope Tech has a great Thursday night, as we'll talk about NC State being in town to take on Georgia Tech tonight. Yes, Thursday night football, and Tech is favored at home. We'll get more to that coming up in about 15 minutes as part of our strong arm story of the day. But, Mike, as we continue to talk about our Falcons, and yes, we will talk about our Hawks, who took a loss last night against Golden State. Not a great performance all the way around for anybody.
Ugh.
And we'll certainly get back into our Braves conversation after Chris Sale wins the Cy Young. It has us thinking about where this team goes this offseason and where the money is going to be allocated. But what are the Falcons doing this week? And I keep talking about this message and the message. What's the message going to be? I think more than anything, right, the thing that you can stress is we got to tackle better. And then you show them the tape, Mike. They know. Look at these damn missed tackles. Look at you arm tackling. Look at you barely. Look at the effort. Where is the effort we need? And then you show, hey, why are we not blocking the way we need to? And then you show them the blocks, Mike. And then you go, hey, by the way, look at these dumbass penalties. Why are we setting ourselves back? Those are the things I think Raheem Morris absolutely has to do. Now, does it change anything? I don't know, but you got to do it.
Yeah, we've always kind of scratched our heads when we see some of these rankings, whether pre or in season, about how good our offensive line is. Maybe a run of the football, but certainly we've seen some mistakes. We know that Caleb McGarry does, whether you believe the metrics, and I believe my eyeballs, he's not as good in pass protection certainly as he is in run game. I think Lindstrom has struggled at times. How much of that is a byproduct of what's happening to his right? I don't know. I think Bergeron, first time we've called him out, that was this week in Denver. Nobody was good in Denver. But maybe getting Dahlman back at center helps. Neusel wasn't bad. They were winning some games at Neusel under center. So I just don't know what Raheem does other than start yelling at these guys a little bit more. I think the fans are like, enough with the positive energy. It's time to turn to the dark side. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not his nature. But, Carl, the defense, you can't improve the defense. The defense has – there's no way schematically you can improve this defense other than Jesse Bates, please go get two interceptions a game.
Well, listen, Jesse wasn't the only one. A.J. Terrell's had turnovers. Grady's forced fumbles. I mean, there have been other guys that have created turnovers. We just haven't done it the last 2 weeks. But let me say this about the folks who feel that way. Like, all of a sudden, you know, Ra's going to walk in all black with a mask on. We've lost two in a row. Not eight. Okay? Two in a row in the National Football League is not unusual. It's the way we've lost that has us concerned and why we are a little bit nervous. Get these things corrected, and I think we get back on track. But it's not time. Like I'm not in panic mode, and I hope they're not at Flowery Branch either, about these two losses. It's not time to put on the all black and a mask and show up in a meeting and be like, all right, things are about to change around here. So I think these are the things you stress. We're 6-5, first in the NFC South. I repeat, first in the NFC South, even though it's been frustrating. And with that, Mike, you hope that you show up. These guys are going to be motivated. Hopefully we get some guys that are healthy. That's the other part about this. We're a little banged up right now. I mean, like we can say all these other things, but part of the Denver story was you had third and fourth string guys that were playing corner and safety out there that were not capable of consistently getting the job done, and it showed. And then Bo Nix throws for 3+ and 4 touchdowns. Let's hope we get healthy, and that's what I'm going to hang my hat on. Those things, health, and then guys responding. I mean, let's be honest. If we're ever going to get to where we want to be, and it's not only in the playoffs, Mike, we got to win a playoff game. Let's stop thinking we're just going to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hope that the rest it does help them, and all those things you just talked about happen. You know, we've seen this team look really, really good. But we still are yet, even in the wins, we've yet to play four quarters of good football.
Yeah.
We have not had a complete. Yeah. And that's why, you know, when you look at the other teams, yeah, I mean, not everybody's been perfect, but darn, the Lions sure have looked that way at times. Certainly, you know, the Chiefs, yeah, they've lived a charmed life and they've kind of danced through the raindrops. They finally got burned against Buffalo. Buffalo's looked good. But yeah, there's not a team out there who says, yeah, they're bulletproof, maybe other than Motown. But still, I just, Kirk Cousins has got to be better. I mean, Kirk Cousins is the only thing for me, and I'll say it again, this defense is not fixable. You can blitz a little bit more, which I'm not sure they're inclined to do. But what we're going to do is, Carl, continue to let people just carve us up, and everything's underneath is open, and it drives fans crazy. And I don't think Jimmy Lake's going to come in here and change the approach this late in the season.
Let's hear from Raheem Morris, because he was asked about whether or not the loss to Denver changes the bye week plans. Now, I think they do. I think you went in and said, if we win, y'all have a good week. We lose, and the way that we lost, you can't just go into the bye week and go, well, nothing changes. Yeah, we got to change a few things, and we got to look at some stuff. But this is how he responded to that.
No, you know, it is. We trust our process. We got a really good process here at Atlanta. Our guys got a good process. Our coaches got a good process. We'll definitely reflect. We'll go back. We'll look at what we need to do better, and we'll get that thing done.
Let's hope so. And we get to chill this weekend. Hope you enjoy your weekend as far as not having to, you know, watch the Falcons per se. You're going to watch the NFL, but you're not watching the Falcons. We get a break, and then we got to get our stuff together because the Chargers are going to come in here and, you know, they get a tough Monday night game against the Ravens. But, you know, as we said, listen, I don't know what Ravens secondary is going to show up. Guys, Justin Herbert could throw 400 yards against that secondary. And all of a sudden, you know, Mike, they may blow doors and everybody's like, what just happened? Or it's a high-scoring game and you know, they don't look like they can slow down heading into Atlanta. That's going to pose a problem heading into the week coming out of the bye.
You know, it is tough. The Saints game frustrates me more than the Broncos game. The Broncos game is aggravating for a number of reasons. But the Chargers, man, we talked to Greg Allman, not, you know, the Midnight Rider, but A-U-M-A-N from Fox Sports. And he was talking about, you know, you guys come out of the bye week and you got one of the best defenses in the league. You know, and Harbaugh is doing a hell of a job. And I know that, you know, when, it's funny. I'm not trying to be like, nye, 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 nye. But when I did mention Harbaugh, some of you guys, like, you'd have thought I farted in church. Harbaugh is doing a hell of a job.
No, it's a great hire. He got to pick his job, though. That was the part about Harbaugh.
Now,
he could have gone anywhere, but we both, I thought, like, I jumped on. Why wouldn't you want to hire him?
Right, but if you're committed to it, and if you feel that you're not, then you don't throw the money at him that would sway him. Now, again, going into the season, at the time you would have hired Harbaugh, you didn't have a quarterback. And, you know, your intentions were Kirk Cousins. We get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he looks at Justin Herbert and says, that's a guy I can work with. And look, yes, I know that Jim's prone to hyperbole. He's saying that Herbert's one of the best. Not talking about this season. He's talking all time, which, of course, we know is not true.
Sure.
He's a work in progress. But Harbaugh, players buy into his stuff, and they're physical, and it's fundamentally sound, and that defense is getting after it. And by the way, you know who's on that defense? Bud Dupree.
Yes, he is.
Khalil Mack, and you know about Bosa, but they got some dudes.
Yeah, they do have some dudes. Chris just mentioned to me, and I'm so glad he did. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This hour, of course, brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, it's Thursday where Boneless Thursday is going down. Buy one, get one boneless wings. He just said to me, you know, Herbert hasn't thrown for 300.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yards, but in one game.
Right. They're running the ball.
That's the trap. That is what you think they are. And they've been so good at it that they don't have to rely on him. But let me tell you something. they could go to him and say, hey, we need you to throw it 35 times, 40 times a game, and he's going to be willing and able to do it. That's who he's been. But he has a coach that understands that that is not how you deal with a quarterback and puts all that pressure on him. So they've won four, by the way, for those of you keeping score, four in a row heading into this Ravens game. If they beat the Ravens Monday night, that's five in a row heading into Atlanta December 1st. So this is going to be a big week to get things right. And I just think, like, I can't fall into that trap saying, oh, you know what, he's not been that great. Herbert's actually done exactly what they've wanted him to, Mike. I think that even makes it more dangerous for me.
And another thing about the Chargers, like, I'm not trying to – guys are hitting this up. So you're saying they're unbeatable? No. No, we're not saying that. But the Bengals are the first team to take them over 21 points. Think about that.
Well, they haven't let a team score 20 or more, yes.
Right. And if you look at it, guys, the Bengals, they gave them a test. They battled back. And, of course, the Chargers finish it with the big run at the end of the game. But this guys, we're coming out of the bye with a really good defense. I know it's at home. It's a West Coast team coming east. But, you know, we just laid it out for you. It's a scary, it's a daunting proposition. And that's why I'm having a hard time finding four wins out of these seven to get us to 10-7. And more importantly, my $1,000 bet on the over, if 9.5 wins, enough about me. I'm having a hard time finding the four wins in these six games.
All right, so J.K. Dobbins has, 700 yards?
He has 750 yards and 8 rushing touchdowns.
Okay, so here's the other part of this. You just saw what Denver did. You saw teams throw it around on us. You going to let Justin Herbert do that? Or you think everybody's going to come in and go, man, we got to stop the run, because that's what we're going to talk about next week. I guarantee you, with Dobbins playing the way he is, and guess what? They can throw it around the yard. That's part of this. And if they come in balanced, Mike, that's a whole other issue. Because then if Dobbins is running for $115 or whatever it's going to be, and then Justin Herbert's throwing for $275 and 3 touches, like, that's what we're up against. And this is what makes them so dangerous. And then on the defensive side, they just don't let you score.
Guys, I know that early in the season, turnovers were our friend. We already talked about the contributions. If you mentioned Terrell, I mentioned Bates. We don't get those turnovers, guys. We're just a really bad defense. We're average against the run, and we're terrible against the pass because we don't get pressure on the quarterback.
All right,
how do you fix that in 10 days? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, again, guys got to do their job. They got to do it better than what they've been doing. We should not have lost to the Saints. And it gets back to fundamental stuff. Either way, this is where we are. We'll see what the message is from Ra and how this team responds. Coming up, how's Georgia Tech respond tonight? They got a big one at the Flats. We'll talk about it. But first, your chance to win Led Zeppelin. The experience, guys, going down right here at the Coca-Cola Roxy. Caller number let's do 9 today. 9 for listening to Dukes and Bell. Caller 9 at 404-726-0929.
You got the look. Oren gave you the look. He's got to answer two more phone calls.
We did 7. We did 8. Today it's 9. Caller 9, just for hanging out with us. You're going to win these tickets to go check out the Led Zeppelin experience on Dukes and Bell.
See, it's personal injury law.
What's going to happen tonight with Georgia Tech, Mike? Georgia Tech, rambling wreck. They got a big game against NC State. The Wolfpack in town. 5-5, 2-4 in conference, but Tech is already at 6 wins, bowl eligible, even though NC State is not. And I said to you earlier, this is their motivation. Game's on ESPN, by the way, 7:30 tonight. And Tech's favorite in this game.
Yes, by 8. Chris, we got 8.5 or 9.
You're going to get it?
Well, for those who don't follow our pick segment, every year we joke around that if anyone ever gets 10 games below 500, they're out. And I don't think it's ever happened since we've gone to that format. I suggested it because, again, why would you? I always get a kick at it, no matter what the show is, whether it's Andy Randy or Steakhouse. You know, and you're like, let's look at our rankings. The Kanish is 1-8. Well, why am I going to, you know, listen to it? You know, so if I get, and look, we've had good years. I've won it. You've won it.
Yeah.
Chris Thomas Turtle has won it as far as being the best winning percentage. But this is a year where, yeah, I mean, if I owned a funeral parlor, nobody would die, to paraphrase my dad and Gordon Gekko. He used that line in Wall Street.
No,
but it's just
-9.
Yeah, minus. Oh, see, by the way, I looked it up. Wolfpack is 2-8 against the spread.
Wait a minute. It went up?
Yeah, it's 8
minus
and half,
9.
Yeah.
And it's 51.5 is the over-under.
Yeah, they're 2-8 against the number.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. I mean, I could see Tech winning but not covering the 9.
That's good.
In my head, like in my mind's eye, that's what I would see. But again, my mind's eye has got pink eye based on my picks this year. So,
yeah. You know,
it's been bad. But anyway, getting back to your initial question, this is a game you don't want to trip up because there's so much good juice now after the Miami win, being bowl eligible. And now the difference is, do you want to go to a bowl where you step out of a dugout? Do you want to go to a bowl where you're on the same side of the field? Or do you want to go to a bowl game where it's close to like New Year's in Florida? This is important to win this game. You feel me?
I do feel you.
Georgia Tech, by the way, guys, has been, over their last four games, Jekyll and Hyde syndrome to the extreme.
Yes, they have.
They've scored 41, 13, 6, and 28. So it's feast or famine.
Yeah, well, some of that was having to do with Hines Ward being out.
Hines King.
Why do I say Hines Ward? Well, we just talked about it. Just say for the, the college football.
Yes.
I do have a reasonable excuse for that malaprop. But no, going back to the Notre Dame game, the Virginia Tech game, not having the best quarterback play, that part of the excuse. The Louisville game, I still thought there were chances to win that game too.
Yeah.
And the one that, to me, was the most frustrating is Syracuse, although in that one, if you didn't see it, Syracuse's quarterback was just McCord, was just making plays all over the field. But getting back to tonight, but it's, in all seriousness, this is the difference between the good bowl game and the crap bowl game. Now, everybody's happy to go back-to-back bowl games and for Brent Keenan, who's been head coach full-time for 2 years, but this one would be big. And again, don't drop off against an NC State team you should be better than.
I think this is about running the football, and that's where they've had their most success. They did it against Miami. They had no answers. Miami has a better defense than the Wolfpack, and Jamal Haynes has over close to 700 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's where this is tonight. And if you do that with Haynes King, he was the difference in the upset against Miami, right? He was limited as a passer, but after missing 2 games, you know, he came back and, you know, he ran, I mean, what did he run for? 93 yards and passed for a touchdown against Miami. To me, that's where this is for Georgia Tech tonight. Mm-hmm. That's how you get to 7 wins, Mike. And then, listen, the 8th possible win is Georgia.
And I mean, it's not an impossibility.
It's not. And I know a lot of people just expect that that's going to be, oh, Georgia's going to handle business. I think this is a tougher game than you give Georgia Tech or credit for. And when Kirby gets there after this UMass game, I guarantee you he's going to be telling his kids that. Because you cannot go sleeping into this weekend, into the Thanksgiving Day game or you know, the day after, Mike, and think that Georgia Tech's just going to lay down. That they are going to show up, and if it's close, you don't want to be in a close game. I think that's a dangerous situation. So I'm just saying they could win tonight, get their 7th win, but by no stretch of the imagination am I not saying that Georgia Tech is done. They could pick up an 8th win against Georgia, even though most of you are like, oh, it's not going to happen.
Right. And in case you're wondering, guys, they are the 6th team, the 6th best team based on record and conference record as far as the tie-ins for where their bowl visit would be.
Yep.
So that's just something to think about. I mean, no disrespect to the Pinstripe Bowl and playing at Yankee Stadium, but I'd prefer to be, you know, in the Gator Bowl if I could.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. 404-726-0929 if you want to chime in on that. Mike and I had a great conversation earlier in the show with Garth Lagerwey. And as I said, if you want to go see the transcript, Turtle has retweeted that. It's Dukes and Bell 929. And basically what Mike asked him about, you know, hiring Rob Valentino. For those who don't follow, Valentino's the interim manager. Atlanta United has exceeded expectations. They play Orlando Sunday right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We got a bunch of coverage leading up to the kick. But they've yet to say, yes, this is our guy. And so with that, we asked him a couple of things and saying, what doesn't he do that you feel like he needs to do? And he said, no, he's qualified, but his experience is going to come into play when we're talking to other people around the world.
Right. And I said it to him, and I wasn't trying to be a Weisenheimer, but it's true. I mean, if you could get the wins without having to spend $10 million on a head coach, do it, right?
That's right. That's right.
The other thing is, and this is something that Garth Lagerwey brought up himself, when I asked him about, you know, just giving him the job, he says, look, there is a precedent with him. Brian Schmetzer was an interim coach for his Sounders when he was the honcho over there, and he won and went on a run, and they made him the head coach. I just, you know, beating Messi and Inter, you know, just making the playoffs when you had less than 10% chance, and now if you could beat Orlando, I mean, it's impressive. Real quick, sidebar, talking a little soccer for just a second, Lionel Messi's teammate, Julian Gressel, remember him?
Of course.
Our old pal from Atlanta United, he said that Messi was really kind of getting, sounds like a little ticked off at Tata this year with Inter Miami and not liking playing for ties. Apparently goes, it's demanding, quote, in the locker room, you're talking about a player that with the most wins in the history of the game. He's on a podcast and he was basically saying, it's called the Major League Journeyman Podcast. It's kind of funny. And basically Messi was saying it's unacceptable to get a tie. And he said at one point, Martino tried to step in and calm Messi down, telling him, it's okay to draw sometimes. We just can't win everything. And Messi goes, no! And because he came in, he didn't come here to monkey around. He came here to win. So Messi's got to be apoplectic. They lost to Atlanta United in a best of three, which Apple chose to make it a best of three to put Messi on TV 3 times, as we talked about earlier in the week.
Yeah. If that was the riff, obviously, here's the crazy thing. Messi's at the tail end of his career. I'm a little bit surprised, but he still has that kind of pull. Obviously, he's the draw. Right. And if that was the riff in which allowed Tata to say, I'm stepping away for personal reasons,
right,
so be it. That's what went down. I just think, Mike, when you fail in these big moments and they've given you everything to be successful, somebody's got to pay the price. Messi wasn't going to pay the price.
Nope.
So
Tata, and a couple guys hit us up saying, hey, what about bringing Tata back? I think, like Thomas Wolf, you just can never go home again, Carl. I don't think that works. I don't think you do that.
Yeah.
I want Valentino, man.
I do too. We'll see if he gets the job. But again, he will make it easier. And Garth Lagerwey said this much. Go win this thing. Like, it's easy for us to sit here at the table and say, well, you know, we still go win it, and you have no excuses. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to here coming up on the show as we've been having a lot of fun today on this Thursday. Tomorrow, as we mentioned, we're going to be at Twin Peaks Buckhead, so we're inviting you to come on out. But as Chris said, show's done a little bit early tomorrow because we got big-time high school football playoff games going on, and so Sam and Coach are going to have all of that for you as we get ready for a big weekend. 404-726-0929 is the number. All right. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll get back into our Georgia conversation about quarterbacks, Mike, because sparked some people today, didn't it? Huh?
Man, and by the way, Barbara Dooley was on fire today, wanting to know, who's on this committee? Who are these people? Are there women? Who?
She said she was going to call.
She's going to call the AD at Michigan.
The committee chair.
And talk to him and straighten him out. You can always rewind on the Odyssey app and listen to Barbara Dooley. That was at 4 today.
All right. Who has their destiny in their own hands? We're talking about college football. We're going to take a look because, again, some of the games, not including Georgia's, but some of the other games are going to shape what the committee does and how this is going to look moving forward. We'll talk about it next.
It's time for the road to the college football playoff.
I think it's great. That's really good.
On Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, real quick, our buddy Garrett, you hear him on the Steakhouse, and he also covers college football. He hit us up, heard us talking about Georgia Tech, Mike, and he says, guys, Georgia Tech is 4-11 off of a win under Brent Key.
4-11. See, that's the thing that we didn't – I don't think we brought that up with Brent. That's probably a conversation killer. But, yeah, that's the thing about one step forward, two steps back. They're already bowl eligible. But, yeah, if you want to step out of a dugout, lose this game.
That's
if you
right.
want to maybe play on a regular football stadium field, win this game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There are teams that control their own destiny, and this is what we're going to get into here in the 6 o'clock hour, a conversation about Georgia and recruiting and some really good stuff that you'll want to hear coming up in less than 20 minutes. But Oregon, guys, they've already qualified for the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State, and we're just looking at the college football playoff rankings. Obviously, if they went out, it's going to be Oregon and Ohio State. Ohio State has one loss. This is what gets interesting.
To them.
If Oregon beats them, now they have two losses, and they fall into this two-loss category, Mike, that right now we're talking about Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, and we keep talking about four teams from the SEC making it. All right, I think four teams also make it from the Big Ten. And with Ohio State being one of those two-loss teams, they're just not going to drop out. Now, Penn State would move up, obviously, because they're probably not playing because they lost to Ohio State for the Big Ten championship. Indiana-Ohio State this weekend only matters because if Ohio State loses, and then you start looking at, all right, who's playing Oregon in the Big Ten, Mike, they're not going to get in if they lose to Oregon, and that would be three losses. So you're talking about losing to Indiana, that'd be loss two, losing to Oregon.
They're not going to lose to Indiana.
I don't think so either, but I'm not counting it out, all right? And I'm just saying there are teams that have their own destiny in their own hands.
Right.
Georgia's not one of them. Georgia is going to play UMass and Georgia Tech and have to wait until all of this in front of them plays out. And that's the crazy thing about this. Alabama, well, and they're better than Auburn this year. They are. But I've seen crazier things in the Iron Bowl. Like, these are the games that we've got to wait to see. Miami in the ACC championship game. You probably don't give SMU any chance.
No, I give SMU a five. Against Miami, they play no defense.
Well, so what if they beat them? Then what happens with Miami?
I think they play lip service and does a two-loss? See, the two-loss Miami thing is interesting because their strength of schedule is crap. Their strength of schedule is bupkis. So that's where I'm just – the way I fall on this is if Indiana loses, likely, Georgia, the strength of schedule at some point the committee has to recognize. Or do you feel that, no, strength of schedule, they've already made their decision. Strength of schedule really has not – no bearing on this. They're not weighting it. Miami, Carl, who's their ranked win? That's correct. Louisville's not in the top 25 and wasn't when they played them.
So if SMU beats Miami, then SMU is the lone ACC team.
You could argue they're the only one worth it. Clemson, I'm sorry. I mean, do you feel Clemson?
No, I do not.
I mean, Clemson's a brand, and they might give somebody a fight in the lower part of this top 12.
No, I do not.
I just think that it's basically winner take all in that ACC championship game. Miami finishes, by the way, with Wake and Syracuse.
Here's where I'm at with the AC or the SEC. What four teams are we talking about? See, Bama fans already think, well, it's going to be us. Okay, well, Bama's the closest thing to playing for the SEC championship game against either Texas or Texas A&M, depending on how that game plays. So a three-loss Bama, if it was to play out that way, is going to be out, which then would mean, Mike, you could potentially have, obviously, Texas with two losses as well. Like, who's that third or fourth team from the SEC that's going to get in?
Well, right now, Ole Miss has got the tiebreaker over Georgia. The strength of schedule advantage goes to Georgia, but we just discussed it. The committee doesn't seem to give a flip about the strength of schedule. They're going head-to-head. You had a bad day in Oxford. That may cost you, you know, because right now, Ole Miss, now your hope if you're Georgia, I would really seriously be a big Gator fan. Coming up this weekend, yeah. And hope that DJ Lagway really gets after it. Remember, guys, Ole Miss is in the swamp. This could be huge Georgia.
Could be.
And you just saw what they did to LSU. I think, you know, obviously Ole Miss plays a little bit better defense. And then Ole Miss finishes in the Egg Bowl, of course, with a hapless Miss State. So Georgia wins out, and Miss State wins. Ole Miss wins out. Ole Miss is still ahead of Georgia if the strength of schedule don't matter to them.
You know who else is chilling right now? Tennessee. They play UTEP. They finish at Vandy. Vandy's still a good team, and that'll be a fun game to watch. And, yes, it's a rivalry with Tennessee and Vandy and all that. But they're chilling, too, with two losses, Mike, and they're not going to play in the SEC championship game. And guess what? They get to sit back and wait and see how this plays out and go, hey, we beat Alabama. We beat a ranked Oklahoma.
Right.
I mean, like, that's the other part of this. And I'm just saying, and they also beat a 24th-ranked NC State team at the time.
At the time,
season.
Yeah. It was the Mayo Bowl, the preseason game in Charlotte.
But those three ranked teams matter. Like, you can't take it off the resume.
But like I said, guys are hitting us up right now on the text line saying at some point, see, that's the thing. So basically they're just yanking our chain for the first 2 weeks, and now we're just getting down. Strength of schedule really matters. No, I don't know. That's what Barbara Dooley was talking about with us. You have no idea what the parameters are. You know, what is the criteria for this thing? Oregon, Ohio State, you know, likely to rematch. Indiana, and this is where it gets interesting. If Indiana loses to Ohio State, their strength of schedule is laughable. They don't deserve to be there.
Well,
but they're in the power. They're in the Big Ten, which is going to get them in.
Yeah, they're going to. But here's the deal. The committee knows that, and they won't be a top five or six seed. They're certainly not going to win the Big 12.
But just to think politically,
yeah.
And let's be honest, there are agendas. The head of this whole thing is a Michigan man, a Big Ten guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're telling me you want to send Indiana like wolves to the slaughter to Athens in that first round?
Well, being in versus not getting in is better than not being in.
It would certainly, you know, I mean, I imagine the relish Kirby would have to take a swing at Indiana at Athens.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know if – and by the way, for those who don't know, you recuse yourself when your team is – if you are associated with any of these teams – you don't get to sit at the table, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
But I don't think the commissioner is – I don't think Ward is looking at this and saying – Mike, he might. But the reality is you're going to get more teams in anyway. This is why the Big Ten and the SEC have come together and talked about where we're going in the future. They've got 18 teams. You're going to get four teams in.
Right. Now, the other one we've talked a lot about because it's such a great story is Army, U.S. Military, West Point. They play at Notre Dame this week. And again, you wish this game was at West Point, but it's there at South Bend. You give them a fighting chance.
Look, I think if they keep it close in the first half, they got a shot. If Notre Dame comes out, stops Army not once, not twice, maybe three consecutive possessions, then it's going to be a problem because nobody's been able to really do that. Mike, Army has been good enough this year, and defensively, that's the other part. I don't think people realize how good they are defensively. They've been able to stay in these games, but they've also scored. I think that's the philosophy, or at least the way I'm approaching this Army game. Notre Dame should win the game. They're a 14.5-point favorite. There's no reason they should win this game. But I think Army gives them a battle, at least for the first half.
I mean, of all the schools, no disrespect to Boise State, but I mean, if anybody could make it from the little kids' table at Thanksgiving, I would love to see, and for all the reasons I think we get, that Army would be that team.
It'd be great.
And by the way, we forgot to mention, talking about Georgia earlier in the conversation, Greg Sankey weighed in using social media. He goes on Twitter. Greg Sankey says, interesting to read analysis from others as they examine, quote, strength of schedule in college football. Takes a page back from what used to make up part of the BCS, the Sagarin rating. Remember Massey? Everyone's got these different...
For sure.
Because when you and I were talking strength of schedule earlier in the week, the first thing some nerd goes, who are you using? What's your source? Well, the commissioner of the SEC is using ESPN, Massey, and Sagarin. Go away, nerd. Anyway, Georgia comes in at number one strength of schedule. Number two strength of schedule, Alabama.
Okay.
Third, Tennessee. Fourth, A&M. Fifth, Ole Miss. Then Texas. See a trend here? Yeah. SEC, because they play better competition. BYU comes in at 39th ranked, Penn State at 40th, Oregon 41st, Ohio State 47, Miami at 55. The ones that matter to Georgia, Notre Dame 72, Indiana 83rd. Mm. Easiest schedule in the country. So, and Georgia's got the number one toughest.
So that is not what you were talking about yesterday.
I was giving you the College Football Network. I gave you three different versions. Here's the one saying, choose your ranking.
Correct.
Either way, the SEC comes out on top, and it's not even close.
All right. What do you guys think? I think there are teams, again, that hold their own destiny in front of them. And those teams are like Texas. Guys, they beat Texas A&M. They're going to be playing in the SEC championship game with one loss. They lose the SEC championship game. That's two losses. I don't think the committee puts them out. I still think they're going to be in, despite what we've talked about with these other two lost teams. The only team that you're putting in front of them is the team that beat them, Georgia.
Question I have for you is, do you still, as if you're a Georgia fan, you're Kirby, did you buy what we talked about with Lane Kiffin the other day? Do you really care about being in the SEC championship game? I don't think it helps you necessarily. An extra game. By the way, and not to sound like
I'm not going to say you don't care.
Anyone who sound like a dork, but I mean, they could get hurt. You know, yeah. Injuries is one more game where you're going to get hit.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they don't care. I would just simply say that every coach, if you're worth your value, and Kirby is, wants to be in that game every year, and you want to collect as many of those rings as you possibly can to say, we're SEC champs. We own the best division or the best college football conference in the country. But to say where we are currently that it doesn't help you, I don't disagree with you. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the intent. I just don't. I don't think, again, I've been saying this. You don't go into the season and say, well, you know what? We could be a three-loss team.
Hey, but you know what? Let Alabama play Texas. And
we could be a three-loss
team. Let Alabama play Texas, and you host whoever loses in the Big Ten, and there you go.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what's going to happen because they are not moving anytime soon.